Well, good morning, Conqueror Sunday School class. This is Brother Ray Shutt coming to you again this morning with another lesson from our Conqueror Sunday School lessons online. I sure do appreciate you coming and visiting with us today. And if you are visiting, indeed, we'd love to invite you to come to our church services here at the Church of the Open Door. Our Sunday morning services right now begin at 10:45, and then we come back again on Sunday night at 6 p.m., and then we meet back together on Wednesday night for a midweek Bible study service, which begins at 7 o'clock. We'd sure love to invite you to come and be our welcome guest at any of these services. And as always, every Sunday morning, you can join us right here on our Sunday School website for our Conquerors Sunday School class online lessons. Today, our lesson is entitled Back to Work, and it is the fourth lesson in a series entitled God's Providence in Motion. Today we're going to be looking at Ezra chapter 5, verse number 1, and we're going to go all the way up through Ezra chapter 6, verse number 15. And this Sunday school lesson today is for Sunday, May the 16th, 2021. Today's lesson theme verse is found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. And here it said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let me ask you this morning, dear Conquerors class member, what motivates you to work for the Lord today? What motivates you to do the work of God in the day that you live? You know, in last week's Sunday school lesson, we saw how that the adversaries of God caused the work of the Lord in rebuilding the temple to be stopped. And even worse than that, we read in Ezra chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, how that the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. What a wicked thing for the devil and his crowd of evil workers to do against the children of Israel. But may I also remind you today, folks, the devil and his crowd are not the friends of God's people. Their only desire was, and still is today, to cause the work of God to cease, and the people of God to grow discouraged and disheartened in serving the Lord, and even to go back to living like the pagan people and those wicked nations that inhabited the land surrounding them. And now, after many years of oppression and depression and constant battles from those who oppose the work of God there in Jerusalem, the Bible says in Ezra chapter 4, verse 24, "Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem." So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia, nearly a full generation later. But when the devil does all that he can do to discourage the hearts of God's people, nothing motivates and stimulates the stagnant hearts of the people of God to once again do the work of God like good Bible preaching. Folks, God's people needed revival in their hearts, even as you and I need revival in our hearts today. And beginning here in Ezra chapter 5, that is exactly what God does. He sets his message of revival, his message of hope and trust in God, as a message of burning fire shooting forth from the lips of his prophets. And soon, the work of rebuilding the temple of God was once again begun by the people of God. Thank God for sound Bible preaching that stirs the heart and motivates the soul to do the work that God has saved his children to do for him. And when the adversary does all that he can do to stop the work from continuing forth, the message of the Word of God resounds throughout the land. Onward, Christian soldiers, onward! And when the evil forces and dignitaries of their day, questioned by what authority they did what they did in this work for the Lord, the people of God continued on with the work that they had been commanded to do. And with God's divine providence in motion, the work of rebuilding the temple did indeed continue on and was eventually completed in just 5 short years. What a blessing to see how God enables his work to continue on, even in the midst of much persecution and oppression. Now, let's take a look at this lesson today. It's entitled, Back to Work. And I want us to see how all this came to pass as we see the divine providence of God in motion. Now, if you're online right now, please pull up our lesson outline. Print it out if you're able to do that. If you're not able to print it, listen, when you come to church, pick up a copy here right outside the doors of the Conqueror Sunday School class. There's a black music stand there, and it has both our Sunday School lesson outline as well as this week's prayer list for the Conqueror Sunday School class. Pick one of each up when you come into church today, all right? Let's look at point number one. If you're following along today online, follow with us here at point number one. After many years of delay, we finally see here that the construction of the temple of God resumed. It once again resumed. Now read once again the sad plight of the people of God, as we saw last week found in Ezra chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Listen to what the Bible said. Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews, and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Just when the enemies of God presumed that they had thwarted the work of God from being completed and had so discouraged the people of God from ever desiring to do anything again for God, Almighty God, the great and holy God of Israel, through the foolishness of preaching, once again begins his mighty work and reviving, rejuvenating, and restoring the hearts of the people of God to finish the work that he had called them to begin to do in the power of his might. Never forget the words of the writer of the book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, as he exhorts unto his readers, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Folks, the devil will indeed do all that he can do to stop the work of God from going on. But folks, we need to expect it. We need to prepare for it. We need to watch for it to happen. But while you're doing all that, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your heart, your determination fixed upon the one who has saved you, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. After all that the devil had done to try to stop the work of God from continuing on, look now at what begins to happen here, beginning in Ezra chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Man, this ought to thrill your heart. Look at what the Bible said. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. At the same time came to them Tatnai, governor of this side the river, and Sheroth Bosni and their companions, and said thus unto them, who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? Then said we unto them after this manner, what are the names of the men that make up this building? But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease, till the matter came to Darius. And then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. We see here that after many years of delay, the work, the construction of the temple, was finally resumed. But I want you to see now, point number A in our lesson, the motivation from God's prophets that are found here in verses 1 through 4. Look at what it said. The Bible said, then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. At the same time came to them Tatnai, governor on this side the river, and Shetharbaz-Bosnai, and their companions, and said thus unto them, Who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? Then said we unto them after this manner, What are the names of the men that make up this building? Thank God, folks, for faithful preachers. Amen. Thank God for fearless leaders such as these great men of God. Thank God even for frightened children of God who are simply willing to trust the word of God when it is rightly preached unto them. Those fearless prophets of God, they stood firmly, and they proclaimed boldly and without shame, Thus saith the Lord. And as they preached, the hearts of the people were stirred and motivated to service. Turn with me over to the Old Testament book of Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. And in Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 15, we read these words. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, and there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts. Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. Man, what a testimony it is to see how the word of God speaks to the people of God. Now I want you to turn over to the book of Zechariah. We heard what Haggai had to say. Now I want you to see what Zechariah had to say in Zechariah chapter 1. We're going to begin reading here in verse number 1. And here is what the Bible said. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your wicked ways, and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, Like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sibat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were there red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, My cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Wow, man, what preaching, what encouragement, what a sense of God-centered revival and excitement must have filled the hearts of God's people to know that God still loved them, amen, and he wanted to bless them, and that God would indeed be with them if only they would do what God had commanded them to do, and that being to rise up and build. And so, through the faithful preaching of the word of God, they did exactly that. They took the words of Zechariah's prophecy to heart when he proclaimed in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then he continues on in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, by declaring, Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those 7. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. And as the enemies of God continued their rampage, we now see, beginning here in Ezra chapter 5, verse 5, the marvel of God's protection. The marvel of God's protection. Ezra chapter 5, verse 5 says, But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, amen for that they could not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius. And then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. Yes, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. That's what the old song says, folks. When the people of God finally determined to do what the God of the people had commanded them to do, no power of hell could ever stop the work of God from being completed. You know, I'm reminded of the last verse in that great song, In Christ Alone. And this is what it says: no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or he calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Oh, the marvel of God's great hand of protection upon those, his people, who would choose to trust and obey him. Christian, today you need to rise up in the power of the Word of God. Rise up and work, dear child of God. Rise up and finish the work which God has saved and called you to do. And now, as we look at Ezra chapter 5, verses 6 through Ezra chapter 6, verse 12, we see point number 2, the construction of the temple is continued. But notice here that while the work continued, this man Tatnai and his wicked committee of evildoers, they continued their investigation of the matter. And boy, were they about to be filled with something they did not expect. Look at this. Point number A. In Ezra chapter 5, verses 6 through 17, we see an official inquiry is called for. And as their letter of intent to cease the work of God is formulated, here in these verses we read what happened. Oh man, my heart just gets excited about this. Goodness gracious. Ezra chapter 5, verses 6 through 17. Listen to what the Bible said. The copy of the letter that Tatnai, governor of this side of the river, and Shethar-Boznai and his companions, the Aphorosites, which were on this side of the river, sent unto Darius the king. They sent a letter unto him, wherein was written thus: unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea, to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid in the walls, and this work goeth fast on and prospereth in their hands. Then asked we those elders, and said unto them thus: who commanded you to build this house and to make up these walls? We ask their names also to certify thee, that we might write the names of the men that were the chief of them. And thus they returned to us answer, saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build the house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. But after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God, and the vessels also of gold and silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem and brought them in the temple of Babylon, those did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor, and said unto him, take these vessels, go, carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be builded in his place. Then came the same Sheshbazzar and laid the foundation of the house of God which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, hath it been in building, and yet it is not finished. Now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. Boy, these folks thought that they were going to run down the people of God and tell how such a bad thing they were doing was continuing on, and that the king was going to do something about it. Oh, what a warning this should be for those wicked enemies of the Lord God of Israel. You better be careful what you ask for, wicked enemies of God. You better be careful what you seek out to do against the house of God. And while these men sought to gain the king's favor in stopping the work of God, look what a great God did, even in the heart of this pagan king. Look at point number B. We see here the royal authorization. The royal authorization that's given in Ezra chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. Look at it. As you read these verses, see it in your mind how that King Darius did exactly what he was asked to do by the enemies of God and of God's people. Even as we see here in Ezra chapter 6, verse 1, where the Bible said, "Then Darius, the king, made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon." And folks, as the search that this king was asked to make was indeed diligently made, we read in verses 2 through 5, "And there was found at Acmatha, in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll, and therein was a record thus written, in the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 60 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house." Amen to that. "And also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple which is at Jerusalem and brought unto Babylon, be restored and brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem, everyone to his place, and place them in the house of God." And in verses 6 through 12, the king's answer is given, and he commands those wicked men. He said, "Now therefore, Tatnai, governor beyond the river, Shethar-Boznai, and your companions, the Aphrachites, which are beyond the river, be ye far from thence. Let the work of this house of God alone." Man, doesn't that bring revival in your heart? "Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Moreover, I make a decree that what ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered, and that that which they have need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs for the burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven, and pray for the life of the king and of his sons. Also, I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. And the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and to destroy this house of God which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree. Let it be done with speed." Man, talk about the tables being turned around. This was nothing less than God's great hand of providential protection upon the people of God and the very work that God had ordained to be done by his people. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to remind us in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. He said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And now, honey, nothing could stop the work of God from being completed. Nothing. No, not principalities. No power, no thing present, nor anything to come. No height, no depth. No creature, however great or small, not even the very gates of hell could prevail against this work of God from being completed in Jerusalem. And now, as we see here in verse number 12, the king himself declared that certain judgment would come upon anyone who tried to hinder or to stop this work from being completed. Oh, hallelujah! What a God we serve, and what a great desire God has for you and for me as his dear children to get back to the work that he alone has started and is fully able to accomplish through those who simply are willing to trust him and obey him. Folks, COVID-19 cannot stop the work of God. Amen? And don't let it stop you from living for God. Don't let these things around you stop you from being faithful to God. Get back in the house of God. Get back to the work of the Lord. And then finally, we see here in verses 13 through 15, we see point number 3, the construction of the temple is finally completed. God spoke to the heart of King Darius so as to stop the wicked plot of those evil men who were against the temple of God being restored. But then God also used the letter written by the hand of King Darius, not only to put these wicked men in their place, but also to stir the hearts of the people of God to know without a doubt that the Lord God of Israel was indeed on their side. Amen. We're on the winning side, folks. Listen, when you trust God and you obey him and you do what God has said, no power of hell can ever stop the work of God from being completed. And then God also used that letter to strengthen and to encourage his people to just keep on keeping on for the glory of God and to rise up and complete the work which God has so miraculously allowed them to begin. Folks, that's what you and I are in need of today. We are in need of revival of our heart. We need our hearts stirred to remember what the Word of God says, how we are to go, to rise up, and to build, to tell folks about the gospel, and let God do his great work in their hearts. Remember again the words of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, which exhorts you and me as blood-washed, born-again children of God to just keep on keeping on and to keep on looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, folks, what God begins, no man can stop. No prince, no king, no government, or any other power or principality. And now, in these verses, we read in Ezra chapter 6, verses 13 through 15, then Tatnai, governor on this side the river, Shethar Bozni and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent, so they did speedily. And the elders of the Jews builded. Amen. And they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus, and Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. Folks, the word of God is what stirred the people of God to complete the work that had been set before them. And folks, that's what you and I need today. Stay in the book. Stay in the Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell richly in your heart. Folks, whenever God says for his people to do something, you can rest assured that the devil's crowd is going to do anything and everything to try to stop it from ever happening or ever being completed. But folks, there is no other God like our great God. Amen. And as we continue to do that which God has commanded us to do, dear child of God, never forget the words of the Apostle Paul found in Romans 8, verse 37, which remind us, saying, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." So many people have been hindered in their work for the Lord through this COVID-19 pestilence. But folks, it's time to rise up. It's time to work again. Let's get back to work today, child of God. Let's get busy telling folks about Jesus. Let's get busy rebuilding those walls that we have allowed the devil's crowd to tear down in our lives and in our homes. And yes, even in our churches. Let's get back to the job of reaching our lost world with the message of the gospel and telling folks about the God of heaven that loves them and wants them to be saved. And as our lesson's theme verse today again reminds us from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's get back to work today, child of God. For the glory of God, let our hearts be stirred unto working for the Lord. Amen. Now listen, perhaps today you're listening to this lesson and you're thinking in your heart, "Man, I don't know what the work of the Lord really is." Well, folks, the work of the Lord begins all together when a person sees their need of a Savior and they humbly bow before that God, that great God, and they ask him to forgive them of their sin and to save their soul. Perhaps you're listening to this lesson today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. My friend, you are missing the greatest opportunity that God has ever given to sinful men, to know him as your Savior, to know the joy that only God can give through a personal relationship with him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, why don't you come to God today? Why don't you call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to save your soul today? Listen, allow him to forgive you of those past sins and to cover you with the precious blood of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him today, repent of your sin, and simply place your faith and trust in him as your own personal Savior today. Won't you do that? Listen, I'm telling you, you'll be so glad that you did. And then, dear child of God, Conquerors class member today, listen, let the Word of God be that which revives you, restores you to having an attitude of trust and obedience in God. Rise up and build again, dear child of God. We've sat around for too long. We've done nothing for too long for God. And it's time to rise up and build. Pray that God will send revival in your heart. How will he do that, preacher? Through the preaching of the Word of God. That's what he does, and that's how he does it. Through the foolishness of preaching, God chooses to save sinners and revive his children unto service for him. Father, God, we prayed this morning for revival. God, we pray that through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, our hearts will again be reminded of all that you've done for us. And God, that we would be reminded of the great God in which has saved us, the God who has given us eternal life, and the God who has commanded us to go out and to reach our lost world for the glory of God. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today. Remind us once again, dear Lord, of our duty and our responsibility as your children to take the message of the Word of God and to allow it to do in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls what it can best do, and that be to bring conviction of sin and to bring sorrow for sin upon a humble heart and to reach in and convert it, to change it, to save that soul, so that they can know that you are indeed God, and that you are indeed their Savior, and that you are indeed the great creator of all things in this earth. Speak our hearts, Lord, today. Help us, Lord, to have a desire like we've never had before to see revival, first of all, in our own hearts, and God, to rise up and to build and to do the work of the Lord as you have commanded us to do. Oh, God, we pray this in the name of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, thank you so much for joining us today for the lesson. I know I've been a little fast and I've been a little loud, perhaps. I've been a little excited because I've been praying for revival. And I'm praying for your heart to be revived and restored unto fellowship again with the Lord. Rise up and build, dear child of God. Conquerors, remember, we are made more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you. We hope to see you at church today. God bless. Until next Sunday.